now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is goodwill toward men. God has promised that there will be no more sickness, nor sorrow, nor death upon the earth when His kingdom is fully established. Ed, the Christmas theme of On Earth Peace, Goodwill Toward Men is still strong throughout the Christian world. The angelic song which enraptured those Judean shepherds still has the power to spread cheer and induce people to do unselfish things at the Christmas season. But will there ever be lasting peace on earth? That is the question. But first, this program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. So now, Ed, will the world always be plagued by war, or will a time of lasting peace eventually come to man?
The prophet of God in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, tells us that the time will come when people shall beat their swords into plowshares, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
You know, that is a wonderful text, Ed. However, despite the assurance it gives us, the world keeps right on dying, even as the nations continue to make war upon each other.
There's no difficulty in understanding the full significance of this wonderful promise of the Bible if we keep in mind the fact that in the divine plan, the principal fulfillment will be during the thousand-year reign of Christ and His church. Failing to recognize this, an unwarranted limit has been placed on the promise of God, His promise of peace on earth, and also His promise through Christ to give life to the people.
But isn't it the sincere belief of many that the kingdom of Christ was set up at the beginning of the age, but we still have no lasting peace?
If, as the claim was first made during the Dark Ages, that the kingdom of Christ was represented in the church-state government of Europe, it was but natural to believe that all the promises of God pertaining to the blessings of the kingdom could only apply during this present short span of life.
The reasoning was correct, but the premise was wrong. Is that what you are saying?
Yes, that's it. The kingdom of Christ was not set up during the Dark Ages, nor will the prerogatives and authority of that kingdom ever be entrusted to imperfect, fallen human beings. It is because the kingdom of Christ has not been functioning through the centuries that the angelic message of peace on earth has not yet become a reality.
However, isn't it true, Ed, that the Bible speaks of the kingdom of heaven being at hand even in Jesus' day? And hasn't the kingdom been represented in the lives of the true followers of Jesus since that time?
There are texts of Scripture which show clearly that the preparation of the kingdom began with the first advent of Christ. The footstep followers of Jesus are, as a class, referred to as the kingdom, but only in its preparatory stage. They are promised that if they suffer and die with Jesus, they will live and reign with Him.
Doesn't the Bible say, "Fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom"?
Yes, and that is in harmony with what I've just said. The kingdom class are now suffering and dying, just as Jesus, the King of Kings in that kingdom, suffered and died. they follow in his footsteps, assured that if they are faithful unto death, they will receive a crown of life and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
And those who are humbly following in the footsteps of Jesus now cannot at the same time be exercising kingdom authority among men. I can see that point.
That's true. And when the professed Church of Christ attempted to do so through civil powers of Europe, it led only to war and not to peace. Russell, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, we're given a beautiful picture of the followers of Jesus when they are exalted to reign with him. Here they're shown with the Lamb on Mount Zion. In the last verse of the prophecy of Obadiah, we're told of a time when saviors come up on Mount Zion and the kingdom is the Lord's.
Actually, we cannot expect the kingdom blessings of peace and joy and life to reach the people until the kingdom class is complete and exalted with the king. But, Ed, wouldn't it be proper to say that even in this preparatory work, God's goodwill toward men has been manifested even as it was in the birth of Jesus to be the Redeemer and the King?
And that's very true. The people have not, of course, been aware of the manner in which God's goodwill has been operative on their behalf. They have witnessed the continual failure of human efforts, and millions have concluded either that God was not interested in human welfare, or else he was powerless to prevent the evil which has so continuously triumphed in the affairs of men.
But all the while, you insist the Scriptures show that God's plan has been moving forward victoriously toward its goal of peace on earth.
Not only peace, Russell, but health and life as well.
That is right, for the angel, in announcing the birth of Jesus, emphasized that he had come to be a Savior as well as the Prince of Peace.
Yes, he came to die for the people as well as to reign over them. And the work of redemption was first to be accomplished, for it was God's design that his Son rule over a living race rather than a dying one. For this to be possible, it was necessary that Jesus first die for the people in order that they might be redeemed from death.
But Ed, why has God permitted such a long time to elapse between the coming of Christ and the establishment and manifestation of his kingdom? Has the long delay been in order to select from the world those who will be associated with him in his kingdom?
Well, that is one reason, but not the only one. We might also ask why God waited 4,000 years after the fall of man before sending his Son to be the Redeemer. God's design is for the blessing of the entire human race, a race that, when raised from the dead, will fill the earth. So he wanted all to have an experience with sin and death in order that they might appreciate the blessings of righteousness and the advantage of obedience to their Creator and his laws.
And it will be during that 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom that all the dead will be awakened and given an opportunity to enjoy the blessings of that kingdom. Certainly the people will then know that the prophecy of the angels was true, that the divine plan did not fail, and they will know that there is, at that time, peace on earth.
Yes, for then there will be not only peace among nations, but peace also within nations. Best of all, and indeed fundamental to all peace, there will be peace between God and men, and that will result in life, for the Bible declares that in God's favor is life. And we will rejoice in anticipation of that global hallelujah chorus which will ascend to God when the knowledge of his glory fills the earth and all the people know the full significance of what occurred 19 centuries ago when the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And now, Russell, I believe you have a special announcement concerning the Dawn magazine.
Yes, Ed, I have. Friends, a copy of the Dawn magazine will be sent to you free To get your copy, simply address a request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and it will be sent to you without any obligation. You will find articles on a wide variety of religious subjects. The various departments emphasize conditions in the world as they pertain to Bible prophecy. The Christian Life and Doctrine section is an inspirational outline of the problems of everyday Christian living. The Bible Answers TV section and the radio section list the television and radio stations giving the time when our programs may be heard from coast to coast. There are also articles on the International Sunday School lessons, which you will find most enlightening. In the question and answer section, you will find answers to the questions that you send in or that others send in, and questions that you have often thought about. You won't want to miss the 64 pages of enlightening and encouraging Bible truths in each issue of The Dawn. So send now for your free copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. That is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for The Dawn. You spell it D-A-W-N, The Dawn Magazine, and it will be sent to you free by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.